Welcome to People's Distinctive Travels Podcast, starring the Overlord Fresh, Ed, Ultra Mag, People's Distinctive Travels Podcast.
How do you want to start?
Oh. Where do I begin?
Well, you said we want to introduce ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Well, do we want to introduce what we're doing? Like, say, what we're doing and then introduce ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to any, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, our identities, you know, I was thinking of Overlord earlier, and I was thinking of that line, the Overlordian playing MC is like an old accordion. I couldn't think of the beginning of it. That LL Cool J, right?
Yeah,
it's his verse on that's Rampage.
Eddie
Candy, right?
yeah.
Isn't that the one where he says shoot the holster off the cowboy pants? I always like that line too. I think that was.
I think so.
Yeah,
there's so many lyrics.
I know. But I don't know. Like, are we gonna introduce what we're doing formally by describing it, or are we gonna just kind of start talking and then it'll kind of define itself? I mean, what do you think?
Well, maybe, I don't know, want to say how we got here. Yeah, it could be brief.
Yeah, you mean like how we kind of connected and
but be, you know, very brief, and then we can go into
Actually interesting. I think I'd love to hear your version of that, and then I would share mine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious about that, actually. If, you know, if how closely your perspective on that matches up to mine.
Okay.
You know, I think that's interesting.
All right. Well, I'll go. Okay. I am Ultramag7 IB. anyway, so, you know, I'm on Instagram, and I run an Instagram hip hop theme page doing edits and so forth and so on. And this gentleman across from me inboxed me, and we started having conversations about hip hop and, you know, what I was doing and a lot of the connections that we had.
So I'm going to interrupt you because
okay.
I feel like you followed me first. I don't know if you saw something that I had or whatever, and it popped up, you know, there's a hashtag or something that popped up. It might have been an Ultramagnetic reference, but I feel like I saw you. Like,
all right, that's good.
Yeah, I saw a follow from you, and I was like, you know, it was pretty early after I started really, having a presence on Instagram, and I saw, you know, obviously the Ultra Mag immediately resonated,
right.
But you know, I didn't really know much, so I was like a little skeptical. You know what I mean?
Who is this person?
But then I saw, you know, I looked at some of your posts, and I was like, oh, okay, this, you know, there's some. Kind of overlap here
in terms of
things that are important to us. So go ahead.
I like that.
I could be wrong. You know, it's funny how we reinvent these stories.
Could be right.
You know,
yeah.
That's as interesting as how it actually happened to me. You know,
but you know, we started inboxing, having these conversations, and then, you know, there's people that follow me. I'm not like I'm large, but there's people all over the world, like people in Europe, people Japan, that type of stuff, and then. It so happens like you live 15, 20 minutes from my house. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We had these conversations and we decided to meet up over a couple of few beers. And, you know.
And one of the key turning points for me, because the hip hop thing was, and by the way, I should probably say, you know, my identity on Instagram is Overlord Afresh. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, before I was Overlord Afresh, I was... I don't even, Decon 7 or something like that, which is funny, the 7, you know.
There you go.
But the best story there is my whole purpose of getting on Instagram was related to like a project I'm working on, you know, trying to write something about hip hop, and I had done an interview with Drez from Black Sheep.
Okay.
And, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, I got to actually use this thing. And I jump on there, and I had basically, when I first went on as Decon 7, the only thing I did was follow Divine Styler.
Right.
So when I got back on, I found that I was blocked from Divine Styler, which was the whole point of me getting on there in the first place. He probably thought I was like, you know, some kind of, you know, robot or something, you know. But anyway, things turned around from there, including when you and I connected.
So glad.
But one of the turning points for me was, in addition to the hip hop, you had like a video. It was a rap song, but it was, I think it was like skateboarding reference. And I was like, this guy's into skateboarding.
Yeah.
And I remember I sent you a picture of my, I bought like a reproduction of the skateboard I used when I was in high school.
Right.
And then immediately you turned around and sent me a picture of your skateboard.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is crazy. You know, like there's so many layers to it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's neat that, you know, now we're probably not going to be spending quite as much time talking about skateboarding.
Nah.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
I will say that when I was skateboarding, I was heavily into hip hop, and the other people that I hung out with who were also into skateboarding were not listening to hip hop. They were listening to, like, you know, the Meat Puppets and Red Hot Chili Peppers and, you know, 7 Seconds and, you know, a lot of punk stuff, you know. So it was interesting.
Same thing. And what's weird is, I remember, like, when I was skating, it was all punk, like JFA, like, you know, like all that type of stuff. The, I don't know, Misfits. It was all that type of stuff.
Okay.
And then the 90s hit, and like skateboarding became hip hop. Like that movie Kids.
Yeah.
It was like hip hop, and I'm like, how did that?
Yeah, I remember that.
How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was just a weird thing to see.
Yeah. That's I think kind of how we connected originally.
Yeah.
We just started hanging out a little bit and talking, and then, you know, I think we just realized that our conversations just flowed
very good,
effortlessly. You know, we were just all these little connections and tying things together and, you know, raising good questions, and, you know, we just kind of felt like,
absolutely,
you know, that relationship, you know, between us, but also how we connected to hip-hop, you know, as kind of an ongoing like filter for us, you know. That's kind of cool.
Totally agree.
You know, that's kind of where we are today, but what's interesting to me is, you know, how did our paths converge? You know what I mean? Like, you know, obviously this is where we are now, but, you know, we had separate experiences for many, many years related to hip hop. And I just think that trajectory of how we kind of landed in a space that's connected is kind of interesting. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So would you be interested in talking about, you know,
sure.
like what was the first thing that you heard that or saw that resonated, like you knew that was rap or hip hop, and you knew that you needed more of it. Do you remember that?
Like, you know, a lot of people, well, I don't want to say a lot of people, but people my age or people around the era always say like King Tim III. So I remember hearing that by the Fatback Band.
Okay.
King Tim III, Personality Jack, that song. And then the thing I guess really set it off is, you know, Sugar Hill Gang. So when I heard that, you know, Rapper's Delight, and that played on the radio all the time. And so when you're a kid, you listen to your parents' records and you hear their music.
Yeah.
But, and then as a kid, there was like, you had Sesame Street records, you had Electric Company records, had little kids' records, but there was no music that was, you know, I guess it spoke to you because you're a kid, but when I heard, like, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, it was like, oh, they're talking how we talk outside. They're, you can tell that they're young. They're not, you know, the Supremes or Marvin Gaye, which I love, but which my parents are listening to, but they're talking about love. I'm like, what do I know about love at this age? But you just knew that was for you. And then it just, early on, it was, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, still live in New Jersey, but always 15 minutes away from Philadelphia. And I remember early on, Lady B, who was like the queen and king of Philly hip hop, she was on WHAT, which was an AM radio. So this had to be like 80, 81 or something. And she was playing like Crash Crew, Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, Treacherous Three, all that type of stuff. So I got it early.
Nice.
Really got it early.
For me, I would say, you know, I was aware a little bit of certain things. Like, I remember hearing Run DMC.
Yeah.
I definitely did not hear King Tim the Third and Sugar Hill Gang when it came out, you know. And definitely I had that experience of listening to my parents' records, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, what I was into. But I do remember, like I said, hearing Run DMC. And the one record that does stand out from, you know, earlier on that I didn't really identify as a rap song at the time, you know, I don't think I really knew the language, but, was, Jam On It by Nucleus. That song, it just, you know, resonated with me in so many ways. And I do, I also remember, a lot of the songs that I liked around that same time, they definitely were not hip hop songs, but they had a little bit of a kind of spoken word or, you know, kind of rap element to the way, you know, so like examples would be Amadeus by Falco. You know, there's that little kind of rap part or West End Girls by Pet Shop Boy. You know, those songs, for some reason, I always related to that. You know? But again, it, you know, at that point, you know, I was probably more listening to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, Def Leppard, you know. And a little bit later, I kind of got into a little bit of new wave, like trying to, like Tears for Fears, I was into, like that kind of stuff, you know. But I would say the key moment for me, well, and I do remember we had one breakdancing competition in my neighborhood. It was we found a refrigerator box out front of someone's house that they were throwing away, and so we ripped it up, you know, we tore off the side and we laid it out. And my friend my two friends were twins, actually, so it was the three of us, and then their older brother and his best friend judged us, you know. And I had no idea what to do.
It's serious, serious stuff.
I don't even know if there was music playing at the time, you know. But I think I did win the popping competition, which I was surprised, actually. But I think they were just being nice. But anyway, that I do remember that. But really the key for me was a lot later. I would say I was in either seventh or eighth grade, and I had this friend named John. And he shows up at my house, and we're sitting on the porch, and I guess he had a Walkman.
Yeah.
And he pulls out this tape, Ice-T, Ryan Pace. And he's like, you got to hear this.
Right.
And I was like, okay. You know, I was kind of, I was a little weirded out by the name Ice-T. I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know. But anyway, he puts it in, you know, and I'm listening to it. And I couldn't believe it, you know, like it was like earth shattering for me.
Right.
It totally blew my mind, you know.
Yeah.
And particularly the one song, and to this day I still will reference this song as, like, you know, the one song that kind of turned me into a hip-hop fan was Squeeze the Trigger, which I believe is the last song on the album right before he goes back into that kind of outro.
You might cause a riot, but the radio won't play, the underground will supply it. I'm an MC
pirate that's loud, not quiet, radical as they make them, make a rule out the fight. Oh man, that just totally, I couldn't believe that somebody was, you know, writing rhymes about those topics that I didn't even completely understand, but I was like, okay, this is for me, you know what I mean? And then that just, from that point, you know, I just knew that I needed to hear more, you know. And I didn't even know where the heck I was going to get it, you know. So,
you know, I have a similar story with Ice-T and breakdancing.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, God rest the dead, my homeboy Skip. We were in the hip hop, you know, early, but he had the 12-inch for Reckless, the Ice-T song that's in the movie Breakin'.
Oh, okay.
And Skip, I gotta one up you. Skip had a big piece of linoleum.
Oh, nice.
And we used to put it in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't have a competition, but we had that. I think we used to play that record and the Awesome Foursome. We would try to do up rocking and some floor moves. I tried breakdancing. I could do some footwork, some shuffles and that type of stuff, but I could never get a windmill.
Right.
Nah. I could never get it. But I mean, I had some moves. I could, you know, up rock and do some floor moves, but
nice.
That's about it.
No, you surpassed me for sure.
I didn't win a competition though. You won the competition.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't competing against you.
I would have served you.
Thinking about you know, that kind of that point of origin, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, did you start buying music right away, once you started realizing, you know, you must have been pretty young in like 80 81, right? So you, what were you, like 7 or 8 or something? Like that,
a little bit older than that. Yeah. Was that 10, 11, something like that?
Okay.
9.
That's still pretty young to be, you know, going somewhere to buy your own.
What used to happen was my aunt used to go over to the Bourse in Philly.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And so we'd be right on Market Street. And I'd ask her, you know, can I go to the record store? Mm. So we would go to, so there used to be a record store, Sound of Market.
Okay.
So Sound of Market.
Always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about that so many times, but
dude,
I had no way of getting there.
So, you know, and she would also go to like the Gallery Mall right there, Market. So if we were there, it's like, can we go, you know, so we go to Sound of Market, which you would go up, you know, and you'd walk in like, oh my God.
Oh, man.
Or you go to Funko Mart.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, Funko Mart.
Did you go to Funko Mart? Because that was another one.
I
never went to either of those places, but I always, you know, because I would hear, they would mention it on the radio, and I'd be like, I got to go there,
dude.
You know?
So Funko Mart, you go down, and then Sound of Market, you go up.
Okay.
But, you know, you go in there, and you see these record sleeves. You see the profile, the red profile, just says Pro, or you see that Def Jam with that maroon with the arm, or definitely Sugar Hill. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd see that with the Candyland type thing. But I think one of the think the earliest 12 inches I remember buying was I think LL Cool J's I Need a Beat. And
I think I have that actually, that 12 inch.
And Roxanne Shanté's Queen of Rocks.
Okay.
Because like, you know, that whole Roxanne, that whole battle with her and UTFO, that was big then.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the thing with Roxanne Shanté is she used to be on Pop Art Records, which is a Philly-based label. So, you know, they had all those. You mean, it was easy to find those records.
Right, right. That's cool.
Yeah. Those are some of the earliest records I remember buying.
My version of that, so I couldn't, you know, I didn't have a way to get to Funko Mart or Sound of Market, you know. I'm a little younger than you are, but I knew those names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had this little convenience store. It was a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually right down the road.
Okay.
Not anymore, but it was where the Wawa ended up moving in. But it was called J&K Market,
mm-hmm.
and it was so like 70s inside. It had like a freezers around the entire store, so any frozen food, you just had to like walk the perimeter of the store, and that's where it was. But they had this magazine section, and I remember going there. So this was after I heard the Ice-T tape and, you know, a few other things. Like, I remember hearing in the weight room at school, guys were playing Run's House, you know. That's a good hype song, you know. And I definitely heard, you know, I'm Bad from LL, you know. So, you know, I had a few references at that point. So I go into this J&K and I see this magazine. I think it was Word Up magazine.
Well, Word Up.
And there's an issue. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting this. So I go home, right? And I'm opening it. And I didn't know any of these people, you know? And I'm just looking at them. And they all, you know, you could tell there was, like, different personalities. You know, just from looking at. And kind of like you were saying with the record sleeves, like, there might have been some, like, advertisements of records or whatever. But I was more interested in the appearance of. So I literally went through. It was like a yearbook or something, you know? And I went through and I made note of all the people that I wanted to get albums from, just from the way they looked. Ones that stand out to me, I still can picture, like, the Biz Markie. I saw him, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely getting Biz Markie. And I did get that. That was one of my earliest ones. I got that at Cowtown, actually. Big Daddy Kane, you know, I think there's a picture of him, like, holding his crown.
I know that picture.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
I know that picture.
One that really stood out, though, to me, that I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely got to check these guys out, was Audio 2. There's a great picture of them in there. I wish I still had that. I don't think I still have that magazine. Yeah. But you know, there were, you know, those were the three main ones that really stood out to me, that, you know, when I saw that, I was like, okay, how am I going to find these records? Actually, I was buying tapes at that point. And I think I did find a lot of them at Cowtown, because there was this guy out there. He had, like, this bunch of cardboard boxes. And there was just cassette after cassette in there. It wasn't all hip-hop, but he had a really nice hip-hop section. So I definitely got a bunch from him early on, you know, because I didn't really know where to go to get them. I did get one tape from my paper route. Did I ever tell you about that? So I did a paper route in like 8th grade, 9th grade, and I had heard Road to the Riches on the radio, you know, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
Great song.
So anyway, if you got new customers and, you know, you were 100% on collecting for a certain amount of weeks or whatever for my paper route, you could get like a prize, you know.
Okay.
And you would just, there was a card that you would fill out. So I actually filled it out and I wrote Cool G Rap and DJ Polo Road to the Riches on there, right? And I knew it was like a leap of faith. I'm like, you know, but one day I don't know, did you ever have a paper route?
No.
So there was like a drop off point down the street from my house where all the papers would just be in like a pile and they would be like tied up, and sometimes if it was, you know, the weather was bad, there would be some plastic over it. And sitting on the top of the pile one day was Road to the Riches cassette. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my god!
You know, but the best thing that I always think about is, like, first of all, like, where did they get it?
Yeah.
And second of all, I can't imagine, like, whoever was responsible for, like, finding these prizes. Like, they must have been like, what the heck is this? Like,
what is a Cool G Rap?
Where am
DJ
I gonna
Polo?
Find this? I always, like, think about that. But yeah, I couldn't believe that showed up one day. So that, and honestly, that was the purpose of my paper route, was I wanted money for new release day, Tuesday back then. Now it's Friday, but back then it was Tuesday. And I would just ride my bike up to the store, which is, you know, next town over, and pick, you know, I would just look at the wall and be like, okay, I'll take that, and go up and pay for it.
Yeah. Well, early on for me, I wasn't a DJ, and we couldn't get over to Philly all the time.
Right.
So I was kind of trying to find a way to hear more music besides the radio, or, you know, if I wasn't taping a show, to have something I could constantly play.
Yeah.
And back then there weren't that many albums out, I think, because I started my collection way back then, and I think I might have had the first Run DMC album, the first Fat Boys album, and I think there might have been a Curtis Blow album. But I used to listen to, like, stuff like Art of Noise and stuff like that. And that
I used to love that stuff.
And they had the hard drums, so that was kind of, like, this is hip-hop to me. Like, you know, Kraftwerk. I'm like, this is hip-hop to me, all that electro stuff.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I remember listening to Rap Digest, which I think, was that 103?
That was 105. That was WDAS.
Yeah.
Mimi Brown.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, Mimi Brown. I would listen to that. And I remember, I think the show ended at like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always like a changeover.
Yeah.
You know, and usually, like I would have my tape running.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, the next, I remember I heard the remix to Keep On Moving with all those little bits of her, Karen Wheeler singing, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, and they would keep repeating. And yeah, then, and I was obsessed with that. But I would hear so many cool things. And I remember one time they played that Art of Noise.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? You know? But you're right. You know, like to me, when I heard, and sometimes it was more like almost like techno sounding, mm-hmm, you know, like I think I heard like Break for Love at one point on there. Good Life. Mm-hmm. Remember that song?
Yeah. That,
I used to love that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like those songs, I agree. They, for me, they kind of tied in with hip hop, mm-hmm, and possibly because temporally they occurred right after the show I was listening to. But they did have like a cool sound and the drum, you know, the drums, and you know, even like an early label like Sleeping Bag Records, you know, they were known for putting out a lot of dance records too.
Yeah.
So there definitely was that connection there.
Yeah, you know? Freestyle and dance stuff.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
So that's cool that you made that connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, just back then, I guess, like I said. What did I say? Philly Radio. Lady B was WHAT. Then there was a new radio station, Power 99.
Mm.
And then she started the Street Beat show.
I remember that.
Hold up. Before we get started, I'd like to say that my name is Lady B. I rock on Power 99. I got my man Brian in the house. Yo, Brian, you there?
What?
Got Disco C in the place to be. See you rocking?
Yup.
You come from 99, we're gonna blow your mind. Now, all the people on the left side, I want you to put your hands high in the air. All the people in Delaware, I want you to put your hands high in the air.
Everybody in Germantown, check it out.
We from 99, we're gonna blow your mind.
It was weird. I remember when it started, it was on Sunday morning, and I'd be at church, and it was like, it started up right around the time I was coming out of church. And my mom, you know, after church, she wants to talk to everybody or give people rides home. And and I'm like, I want to get home and tape this show.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would take the, mom, give me the keys. And I go in the car and turn on the radio, you know, but you can't turn it loud because you're in front of the church. And then
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so I'm just in the car jamming and people are walking by trying to say hi or bye. And I'm like, leave me alone. I'm trying to listen to the, you know, but, you know, she used to play she played all the Philly stuff, Schoolie D, MC Breeze, a little bit later, Tough Crew, DJ Lightning Ridge and Cash Money, and Marvelous, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah. It sounds like you listened to Street Beat earlier than I did.
Yeah.
You know, because it was on, though, into, what, like the early 90s?
Yeah,
it changed over to Radioactive, right?
You know, so I had stopped, but I believe it did. I'd stopped listening, but I believe it did.
But I definitely listened to Street Beat and Rap Digest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, Mimi Brown, shout out Mimi Brown, Rap Digest on WDAS.
That's where I remember so many things I heard for the first time on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like Three Times Dope, they came on. And at first, you know, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it was the name of their group, you know? And I'm like, wow, these guys aren't just dope. They're Three Times Dope. You know what I mean? I didn't know, you know, all that language. Like, it took me a while to really understand, you know, what everything meant.
Yeah, it's a hip-hop vernacular. Yeah.
That reminds me of, I remember talking to you about that clip in Art of Rap where Premier was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it's so much about understanding the language.
Yeah.
I felt like a fish out of water, you know what I mean? But my thing with radio, because I would stay up faithfully Friday nights.
Yeah.
And I think something came on Saturday nights too, I think. And I would just have my tape ready. I had so many tapes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were those little yellow Maxell, like day glow color tapes.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah.
And I did my best because, you know, it was hard to know what the songs were. You know, so I would try to like figure out what, based on the chorus or whatever. And I remember one I labeled as some Public Enemy song, but it ended up not being Public Enemy. It was, it sounded so much like them.
Rhythm Radicals, was it?
What was it?
The Rhythm Radicals?
No, it was that, Brains Unchained and My Soul's Untied. I can't think of the name of the group. I figured it out later.
Mm.
But I that one I thought for sure, I wrote it as some Public Enemy song, you know. But, you know, Three Times Dope, I remember the first time I heard Duck Alert.
Oh, Craig G. Craig G. Molly Moe.
Oh, man. That song, you know, I didn't know that was a reference to Red Alert. I didn't know Red Alert at that point. Oh, you know what I mean? Like now, you know, I know so many people, I could be like, oh, yeah, Red Alert. And they're like, who? You know what I mean? But at that point, I was one of those people. I had no idea. So I didn't know that that was
a diss record.
That was a diss record. I had no idea. All I knew is it just sounded really cool, you know? And another one that really stands out from that time, two more. Step Up Front
by Positive K.
Positive K. Yeah. That beat, I remember they would keep going back to like one line over and over, and I was so that song is great. You know who produced that song?
King of Chill, was it?
No, Grand Poobah.
Oh, Grand Poobah. Yeah.
That's a nice song, man. And then the other one was Gets No Deeper by Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. I was like obsessed with that song. I remember for so long I tried to find
it. You'll never get out.
Yeah. it took me forever to find that album. I finally did get it on tape. I have it on vinyl now, but that was great. So those four, I remember that sound. All these sounds, these weird sounds, like little vocals like wrapped in there and, you know, these repetitive drums. All that stuff to me, I guess I didn't realize it was like electronic production basically, you know. But that just captured me. I was so into that, you know. And I think that, and you mentioned Cash Money and Marvelous. I remember hearing Mighty Hard Rocker and Time's Up. I always liked that one a lot, too. They would play those a lot on there. And they all just had these great sounds.
Great,
you know?
Great production.
Man.
One more radio thing I just want to be real quick. I used to listen to WKDU 91.7.
Okay.
Which
I still listen to that.
Yeah. is.
I didn't know they had hip hop back then.
Oh, did they? They used to kill it. Okay. And these guys.
Yeah, I didn't discover that until much later.
And they were mixing on the records and stuff, like 91.7, nice. Which is the DU in WKDU is Drexel University, which ironically I went to years later. So just a little quick tie.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I had no idea. You know, like I've listened to that station much later. And I think, you know, I think there was like the Down Low Mix Show at one point, which was like maybe 10 years ago, like Mama with the Drama or something. You know, they had some pretty, that's where I first heard, I definitely remember this. That's where I first heard This Year by Megahertz.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That song, man.
Shout out to my man Copyright.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Shout out to Copyright.
Oh, that song, I could listen to that over and over. But yeah, I heard that for the first time on WKDU.
Wow.
But that was probably 10, 15 years ago, you know?
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah,
well, I guess it might have been earlier because when did that come out? In like 2002 or something like that? I think it was
something like that. Yeah,
probably around that time, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? So it's like full circle.
Yeah, right
The radio really helped me discover a lot of things, you know, because first of all, I didn't have anyone that could turn me on to anything, you know, when it came to rap, you know? So if anyone was doing any turning on to something, I was doing the turning, you know what I mean? Cause of the people I knew, I had the most knowledge, even though it wasn't that great, you know what I mean? So I remember, you know, hearing, Ultramagnetic MCs in the studio rapping. And hearing just the flow, and I'm like, who are these guys? They sounded to me, it was like I was in science class or something, you know, like it just was so, even the words they use, you know, it just blew my mind, you know. And now I relate to it in a similar but, you know, more nuanced way, I think. But back then it was just, you know, okay, this is so different, you know.
I had that same experience. So I remember Lady B playing Ego Trippin', which is, I mean, but the name is Ultramag 7, you know.
Yeah.
But Ego Trippin' is my favorite hip-hop song ever. Probably my favorite song ever.
Okay.
And I remember it sounded totally different than everything else because it had that synthetic substitution loop. And everybody, you know, a lot of people at that time were using drum machines, but they had this loop and it was so hard. It's like MC Ultra.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? And then when they were rhyming, they weren't rhyming.
They weren't rhyming, exactly.
It was rhythmic and it was on time. Yeah. But I was like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my
mind. The no rhyme thing was very interesting to me. And then the vocabulary.
Oh.
You know, I just couldn't believe some of the stuff that
to
was.
To the scientific matter, yeah. I probe for evidence.
Yeah, exactly. The way the voices played off of each other.
Yeah.
You know, you had the one that a little higher pitch.
Yes.
And then that really deep, uh-huh. You know, it just worked so perfectly.
It was a perfect record.
Yeah, that record is amazing.
Say G. Using data. I am approximate, leaving revolutions turning, emerging chemistry.
Another one you mentioned, like that's your favorite, probably your favorite song of all time. You know, my favorite. You know, I would probably say if somebody just said quick, you know, what's your favorite rap song? I would say Let the Words Flow by Choke.
Oh.
And by the way, my first Ultra Magnetic song I heard was Give the Drummer Some. And that little skip beat in that, you know, that really, I was into that, man, you know. I love that.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear Let the Words Flow till later when I bought the album, but I remember one night I'm listening to, I forget what show it was one of those shows, and all of a sudden a cappella comes on. Friday night we out playing the corner, not because we hoods, cause we wanna. No drugs being sold, we ain't dirty. Polaroids in effect, watch the birdie. that voice was like similar to said G, I think, you know, that really powerful voice, you know. And I was like, who is this guy? You know?
Chill one.
And then so, you know, it was a cappella too, which really accented the voice. And then all of a sudden that flute comes in. You know? And I was like, man, I gotta find out more about this. And it was cool because it wrapped into another song which I love from back then. Dope on Plastic from Uptown. So I heard those two songs, man, like on the same episode, you know. But I remember they used that, yes, you are now rocking with the best. And then they started like mixing that into Uptown, you know. But yeah, and I think initially the Uptown song was being played over the beat from the Chill Rob G song. What's that song called?
Quarters Now in Session.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a significant moment for me, you know. And I remember getting that that tape. And going home and listen, and you know, I knew the Flavor Unit at that time, you know, so I was pretty, you know, hyped up and expecting, you know, something good, you know, so I was not disappointed.
1,000 orthodox, but of course it rocks. And when it comes to styles, I'm overstocked. You might never get to hear my last rhyme, cause I've been writing since you heard me last time. I could go on, but G is strong. I rock the show, I clock the door, and let the words flow, flow, flow.
But yeah, that if it wasn't for the radio, I don't know. I mean, I may have picked that up anyway, just because, you know, if I flip it over and see it's produced by DJ Mark the 45 King, I probably would have bought it. You know,
right.
Because I was aware of that. But the radio definitely helped me to identify some of those artists.
Well, a lot of those artists, and you were just talking about right then, I know the connection to another station, WPRB, in Princeton.
Yeah, which I love that station too. But again, I wouldn't have listen to that back then.
Yeah. I mean, that was, that station was awesome. I remember, going from Lady B, I remember, I don't know what day I caught that, but I heard about WPRB and it was Thursdays. And, it was Tony D, God rest his dead, Tony D.
Nice.
He was on there.
I do kind of remember hearing him on the radio at one point.
That's, it was him, cool. Easy M, and then G. And I know I've seen G. He's a promoter and he did a lot of stuff for Wu-Tang, but they used to play all. They would play like a lot of, you know, a lot of they played a lot of Jersey stuff.
Jersey,
so Poor Righteous Teachers, they played Flavor Unit, YZ,
nice.
Boulevard, Mossy, Black Prince and Asiatic, all that type of stuff.
Speaking of New Jersey, another one that stands out from radio that I definitely heard on the radio for the first time was Paper Chase by Crown Rollers.
Oh.
That one. Oh. You know, I would play that over and over, you know. Graham Puba was his name, right? Confused me, you know, because I knew the other, you know, at first. But I know it was spelled differently, I think.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, he just had so many lines. Like, it reminds me of Doom in a way, you know? He just kind of kept rhyming, you know what I mean? And it was like, man, this guy's just got lines for days, you know what I mean? It was very unique.
And the vocabulary.
Exactly. I totally agree. Because I did kind of think similarly as Ultramagnetic, you know? The words he was using, I wasn't hearing other people using that kind of vocabulary, you know?
Yeah, I think Ultramagnetic was a big influence on them, because then also I believe Sed G and TR and all those guys, I think they produced that, their first, like, Kick the Ball.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think if you look on that Fan Jam,
I'll have to check that out.
I think
there's like a shout out to them on there.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was just listening to this. I think Too Tough was saying, I think they were doing a show or they were meeting up with Ultramagnetic or something in Philly, and then Ultra ended up staying for like a little while or something like that. And they were instrumental in producing
I can see that. I mean,
oh, you can hear it. Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah, sonically.
Yeah, I mean, Sed G's production is, you know, distinctive.
I am a little mad at myself, though, that I don't know that. You know what I mean? Kick the ball! I think I mentioned earlier, you know, I was very fascinated by the appearance of, you know, people that I later came to know very well through their music, you know, like Audio 2 and Bismarcky, you know. And by the way, my friend John, the one that played me the Ryan Pace tape,
right?
He could do the best Bismarcky impersonation. It was amazing. Like, that part in Picking Boogers, "Hey Mom, what's for dinner?" It sounded just like this. It was awesome. I'm not good at doing impersonations, but he nailed it.
"Hey Mom, what's for dinner? Go up your nose and pick a winner. Pick a burger."
Another thing that always was interesting to me was names.
Mm.
Yeah, and still is interesting to me.
Right.
I've come up with a million rap names just because I'm intrigued. I think we've talked about this a little bit before. I'm intrigued by what names mean, and, you know, like the selection process. So I guess, like, you know, one of the things I was thinking about going back is, did you ever have your own name? You know what I mean? Like,
rap name?
Yeah, because you had like a little group at one point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just curious about that.
So quick, going back. So this is good. Going back to what you were saying about that song by Positive K, and it had that.
Yeah.
Which I think is from the TV show Ironside, if I'm...
Oh, really?
I think.
Nice.
Don't give me... I could be wrong.
That's cool.
The way that I met my rhyming partner when I was in a hip-hop group was, he lived in the street over from me, and we would go to the bus stop. He was new to town, and we'd be on the bus stop, and we had our headphones on.
Mm.
So we were listening to music. And I was blasting like Ultramagnetic or something, and you know, whatever he was blasting. And then I think when I got on the bus, I took like my headphones off to scratch my ear or something, and I heard that. And I'm like, "Oh, he's listening to Positive K." And I'm like, "Oh, he knows what's up." Then later on, I heard he was like listening like Ultramagnetic. I'm like, "Oh."
Okay.
So me and him became fast friends, and he's the guy who told me I should start rapping, because he said he was going to start a rap group.
Okay.
And I'm like, "Well, I didn't rap." And he was like, "Well," and I was, you know, I was artistic and used to draw. I was like, "Well, I'll be the art director." Mm-hmm. This is around the time that De La had came up with 3 Feet High and Rising, and he had all that, you know, the illustrations inside.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Well, I'll do something like that." Mm-hmm. But he was like, "No, you should start rapping." And tying in, like we were saying about 45 King and all that, I learned to rap over 45 King instrumentals. Like, he used to have that master. You know, all those little, we had the cassettes.
I think I have a couple of those.
Yeah. And we used to just play them, and I'm like trying to catch the beat and rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
But going back with that is, you know, you gotta you gotta get a rap name. Mm-hmm. So this ties into skateboarding.
Okay.
So I'm trying to come up with a rap name, and I think I had a Thrasher magazine, and I was looking in the magazine, and there was a pro skater from Philly named Chuck Treese. So
I'm familiar with that name.
Yeah. So me being African American and skating, you know, I identify with Chuck Treese. And I remember it was like a full page ad, and it said Ja Cone. And I'm like, it sounded weird, but I was like, yo, there's something fly about that. I said, but I wouldn't be a cone. Like, so I took that N and changed it to an M, and then just put like an accent over the O, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be Ja Cone.
Okay.
So that
was it all one word or two?
No, words? It was Ja hyphen C-O-M-E okay. with the little accent over the O. Mm. So that was my like first rap name. And then, I mean, I'm thinking this is like late 80s. And I'm like, okay. Nobody had names like, you know, everybody's like, I'm the master super duper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had that. And it's weird. Like,
you think that was maybe influenced though, a little bit of by some of the people you were listening to? Because some of those artists that had different kind of
names.
Oh,
that was definitely. Yeah. But, It's weird. Like, that's my there's still a lot of like people that still call me Ja. Like to this, like
yeah, that's
like
cool.
Like I know who like I'll know where I met you from, you know, by what you call me, because I have a lot of nicknames.
Okay.
So like depending on what you call me, I know where I met you or you know how we relate.
Ja Cone, I like that.
Yeah,
that's a cool name. Yeah, I like that.
Ja Cone.
Was that the only one you had?
That was. You know, when I was in high school, so shout out to my man P.S. Nice. That's my rhyming partner. And his name back then was DJ Cutsology.
Okay.
But now he goes by DJ Brown Bum, who actually he DJs for Ari the Rugged Man. Mm. But that was my group when I was in high school. But professionally, I rapped under the name Seven. Which was...
Is that where the 7 and Ultra Mag 7 comes from?
Well, Ultra Mag 7 is... Ultra Magnetic is my favorite group, and 7 is my favorite number, so...
That's my favorite number.
There you go. Seven.
Yeah, that was always my lucky number. That was my soccer number in high school.
There you go.
Yeah.
But professionally, I was 7, and it was number 7. It was spelled number 7, E-V-E-N. But everybody used to say 7 even. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like,
7 even.
Yeah. And I guess they were trying, it's a play on words because 7 is odd. I'm like, no. I'm like, no, it's 7. Mm. But I used to rhyme with a young lady out of New York City named Princess Superstar. Mm-hmm. And I met her. She was working on an album called Is. And going back to buying records, I actually bought her record. Called Last of the Greatest 20th Century Composers. Conchetta, I'm sorry, I forgot that wrong. But I bought her CD because I was, I would always try to find obscure records or different records.
I remember
records.
When that came out.
Yeah.
I was kind of in that same zone around
and,
that time.
And shout out to Conchetta, it's my homegirl, but she was like... painted gold on the
I
album
remember
cover.
That. Yeah. I totally
she,
remember
she,
that.
She looked kind of hot. I said, I need to check this out. Yeah. So I picked up that CD. I went back to my homeboy, Big Jim Slade's crib. Shout out to Slade. And we played it. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of dope. And I was making demos with Big Jim Slade, my buddy back then. Well, he's still my buddy, but I mean, back then when we made it. And he was like, yo, we should send some stuff to her. I'm like, all right, because she had her own label. Mm. So he sent her some of our demos, and she basically was trying to tell us that, you know, she wasn't soliciting acts. Like, you know, her label was kind of a vehicle to get her off the ground. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, cool. She said, but I'm working on an actual album if you want to submit some beats. So our buddy Slade submitted a beat. She liked it.
Nice.
And then that got on the record, and I believe at the same time, I think Slade got Chops from the Mountain Brothers. Mm. I think he has a placement on there too.
Okay.
You know, because they used to work together. But yeah, I rap professionally under the name 7 with Princess Superstar.
I like that.
Shout out Conchetta.
That's interesting. I never knew where the 7 came from, but that's I'm glad I
knew. Yeah,
that.
Favorite
that's,
number.
That's pretty cool. Well, I never recorded anything, you know, so my rap name was just more just me fantasizing, I guess, you know what I mean? I will say that I think I discovered one of the reasons that rap songs resonated with me, I think I realized, is that I just am drawn to poetry and rhyming in general. And I'm amazed at the ways, different ways people can figure out to rhyme things, you know? And I definitely was into the layering of rhymes, you know, that's why I like people like Kool G Rap and Big Daddy Kane, you know, Master Ace, you know, early on, really, and Chill Rob G, you know, they really resonated with me because they were doing these like multiple lines, multiple rhymes. But so, you know, that always, so I, you know, I think I always just had this thought of, you know, I wrote tons of poems and stuff, and I think like later I got more into poetry that didn't rhyme, and it didn't really sound like rap at all. It was more, you know, more like literary, I guess. Although, you know, I shouldn't say that because hip hop is very literary too, you know. But anyway, so my first rap name, I think I was in 9th grade. I remember a friend of mine and I who, you know, kind of marginally liked rap. He was interested. I would play him songs or whatever. He knew I was like so into De La Soul at the time. We did there was like a lip sync contest at one of our dances. And I got to tell you, our dances, the only hip hop you heard at our dances was maybe It Takes Two from Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, you know, or you would hear Q-Tip's line from Groove Is in the Heart. You know what I mean? Mostly what you would hear is things like the B-52s and Eric Clapton. Nothing against those things. You know, I love the B-52s. There would be like the occasional Cure song, which, you know, I'm a Cure fan, you know. But anyway, there was this girl who was a few years older than me who was super cute. And I remember she was the manager of our soccer team. And one day I was talking to this kid who was older than I was about De La Soul, and he was into it too. And I think he was fascinated by the Steely Dan sample. And I know, I remember him talking about that, which I always love that song too. But I remember this girl, her name was Courtney. She was talking about how she loved Jennifer Taught Me. So that was in the back of my head. Yeah. So they had this lip sync contest. And at one of our dances, I was a freshman, you know, and I was like, hey, I think it would be a great idea if we lip sync Jennifer Taught Me. And we practiced different moves that we could synchronize with each other. It was crazy, you know.
Anything for the ladies.
Yeah, seriously. Who knows if she was even at the darn thing, you know what I mean? But, you know, it made it easy for me to choose which song I was going to do, you know what I mean? But I remember at that point, I had come up with a name for myself. And looking back on it, I think it's so funny. It was Too Potent.
Too Potent.
Yeah, that was my name. And, you know, it's funny because like now if I talk about it, I'll be like, yeah, I was the world's first Viagra rapper, you know what I mean?
Too potent.
Yeah, I would have like Viagra pills in my videos for like product placement. You know?
Watch out, ladies. Too potent.
But yeah, so that was the first one I came out. And, you know, back then there were a bunch of people with that, you know, with a number kind of mixed in like that, you know.
I was two steps ahead. That was our group.
Two steps ahead.
That was our group.
And I think I also was kind of interested in too poetic at that time too, you know.
Oh yeah.
So you know, maybe that was kind of in the back of my head. But then later on, and again, I never recorded anything, you know. I did write a bunch of raps. I still have the loose leaf that I wrote them on, and you know, they weren't anything great. But I got really into different spellings of things, I think partially because of Kwame, and Sly and the Family Stone, the way they would kind of write things out. And I think he probably was influenced by that too. I came up with, it was right around the time I was really into Poor Righteous Teachers too. And I came up with this idea, I was going to be the Oracle. And I was really into the Never Ending Story too. And you remember the Oracle at the end? I always thought that was kind of cool. So that was my second one. And I think Oracle was spelled like O-R-I-K-U-H-L or something crazy, you know. It's just so funny, you know. I guess I'm a little embarrassed by it, but at the same time, it's like that's where I was at the time.
That's the time, yeah.
And I was, it's kind of cool, like looking back.
It is,
you know.
Like so. I said, some people still call me Ja. So
yeah, well, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Whatever it's. And then later on, when I saw Ja Rule, I'm like, what was this guy?
He took your name.
Well, right? I had moved on. I think to 7. I don't know if I was still Ja Combs then, or I don't know. But, no, I think I still was. And then when I heard him, I'm like, yo, I can't come out now. It can't be that many Jaws.
That reminds me, wasn't there like something with Letterman, like Kay Solo and somebody about like...
And DMX.
Was it? I thought they were back. DMX, yeah.
What's the song? Get At Me, Dog. Mm. Like, that's about Kay Solo. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was it.
Oh, yeah, they had a... Yeah, it was a beat. He actually, I don't want to say it, he said that K, he can, so that was a battle song. Yeah.
I love all those stories, you know?
Yeah. They were arguing over who was the first one to spell, you know, like he's saying he took his style, but I tell you, when that first time I heard that K Solo record.
Spellbound.
Oh, well, no, I mean, when he was on EPMD's record. When a S-P-E-L-L, very W-E-L-L, people all out there could T-E-L-L. Yeah. And you know, I mean, everybody knows, but the funny thing about that, he spelled bird wrong.
Yeah.
Like he said, like a B-R-I-D.
Yeah, B-R-I-D.
Like
yeah,
a Brid.
Yeah.
But it was still dope. Yeah, it was still dope.
No, I agree. I remember hearing that too and thinking, oh, I love this guy's voice.
Oh.
Yep. The song I loved from him was Will the Real Solo Please Stand Up.
Will the real solo. Yeah.
I love that song, yeah. Man. My style's aggressive like a pitbull terrier.
Yeah.
Part of it sounds on wax, the more the merrier. Man, that song to me. It's funny. I always have that one song from an album.
Mm.
I like them all, you know, but there's always that one.
Yeah. You know,
that I'm like, yeah, that's my song.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it's so clear, too, to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like going back to Chill Rob G, Let the Words Flow.
Mine, too.
That's my song. Yeah. You know, like I love that whole album.
But that's the song.
But that one.
Yeah.
You know, I always have
that. I agree.
It's funny. And I love hearing other people's songs from each album, you know, or like which album from an artist they like. You know, I think that's interesting. It tells you something about, you know, where their values are and. You know, what resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty cool.
People's Distinctive Travels Podcast.
I feel like we need like some Bismarcky like instrumental behind us as we do the shout out. He was like the king of shout outs.
Yeah.
You know, on his albums. I could just hear like a little beat going on. It always pissed me off too, because he would have like this awesome beat and all he'd be doing is talking about the people he wanted to thank over. And I'm like, man, you should be rhyming.
First people I like to thank.
Yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. This is a dedication record. The first people I like to thank is.
Gotta give a shout out to homeboy DJ Soulbuck.
Absolutely.
For doing the music for the podcast. He did the intro music. So definitely thank you. Shout out to my man DJ Soulbuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the beat, he did the cuts and hooked that up, and definitely shout out to him.
Yeah, I feel like he really kind of captured what we
what we're
all about. He, that was great.
Soulbug is great. He's great.
DJ Soulbug, baby.
The next people I like to thank.
I would give a shout to my brother. Yeah, I won't say anything mean. My brother, Sean, a.k.a. Blade. Probably also give a shout-out to my boy DJ Spoon, Bruce Frazier.
The next people I like to thank is...
I would have to shout out John Truman, mm-hmm. who, you know, besides playing me Ryan Pace by Ice-T,
right.
always had visible cassettes
yeah.
in his house when I would stay overnight there.
Yeah.
That just, even the visuals,
yeah.
you know, just yeah. captivated me.
Yo, I like the thing.
The other guy across the street from me is the one who led me to Public Enemy. His name was Jim.
Some of the people I pinpointed earlier, so definitely DJ Brown Bum. You know, he always had a boatload of records at his house that we would dig, and he was always putting stuff together, making beats.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely my man Nice, Irik Lee. It's like he's the one that got me into rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if I go back to high school, that group, you know, being in that group, so.
Is that Two Steps Ahead?
Two Steps Ahead, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Carl and Theron, they were our dancers.
Nice.
So that was, I mean, Two Steps Ahead. It's funny. Two Steps Ahead just isn't, it wasn't two people.
Right.
It was, you know what I mean? It's like five yeah. people, two dancers, yeah, DJ, well, two MCs.
I mean, it's rare that you have five people that are two steps ahead of everyone else. So, you yeah. know, I get it.
It's a
yeah.
lot of steps.
Yeah.
Alan, well, you know, let me give a shout out. We had a posse back then. We were Wu-Tang before Wu-Tang.
Okay.
So our crew was called Stronghold Unity. So let me think. My man, Donald Doan. So he was, there was Connecticut Potential MC. They were scientific. We have a man, Sandman, George, actually, so to get racial, we had a group, three white MCs, and we called them Opposite Spectrum.
This done by Red Man with horns on his head, yeah, laid down the L plan. Yeah, nice. Go. Okay.
So we all had like these crazy Opposite Spectrum, but this was our little Two Steps Ahead, our little crew, I mean, not two, Stronghold Unity, our crew of people. Oh, Scar, my man Scar.
I had a couple friends who encouraged me, you know, that they were just open in general, so I mm-hmm. could play stuff for them. My friend Mark, my friend Rob, my friend Jason, you know, like those guys were like, and my friend Barnaby, you know, they were all like close people to me. And I remember my friend Barnaby to this day still a downtown Science fan, you know, and he will play Saw You at the Party and Fat Tape. Is it Fat Tape? Yeah, it's all
Fat Tape.
Yeah, now that's King's Son, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm mixing it up here.
Shout out to my man DJ Divine. I used to do a show, a radio show, a few years back with Divine. But he's always, you know, he's always, sometimes we always throw back and forth music, and he's in that, you know, we're in that retro, all that old music, and you know, even new stuff. And but shout out to DJ Divine. My man DJ Mixmash. Shout out to him. I finally got to meet him few weeks ago. Young DJ, he's originally from Jersey. He moved down to I think North Carolina, but shout out to him. He's on, I think he's on Beat Miners Radio.
Okay.
He has a show.
Nice.
Let me give a shout out to she would expect this because she gets on my nerves and I hate her. It's a love hate relationship.
All right, it's good lead in.
But my homegirl Kira, okay. Shout out to her because she's shout out to her because she always goes to hip hop shows with me.
Okay.
And we always go nice. To shows.
Good. But, well, at least you have someone.
But she's a pain in my butt.
Well, at least you have someone to go to those shows, because a lot of times I just go solo. Did you capture everyone you were hoping to catch?
Yeah. That's it.
This might sound a little, you know, romantic or whatever, but I feel like I could give you a shout, because I feel like you gave me a little confidence to be a little more open and a little more visible from a, like a social media perspective, you know, and I pay attention to what you do, you know, and that, I think that helped me. And sometimes you give me a little like nudge to, you know, whether you intend to or not, you know, it just kind of keeps me a little focused. I think you're pretty focused, so it's very helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.